7:45, quarter till 8, Friday morning. It's time to manage your money with Mark Roser, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. If you can, you can go to jeffersonfinancial.org safely. I mean, do this, not while you're driving or anything. You'll see in the middle of the page, manage your money and plan for your future with our financial calculators. And when you click on that, a lot of valuable information there, man, a lot of different calculators. And then we welcome in Mark Roser. How you doing, Mark?
How are you, sir? Happy Friday to you. It's a little too warm.
Yo,
geez. But Friday, nonetheless.
But it's Friday, and that's the main thing, and it seems like it's been a long week. What are we talking about today, Mark?
Well, on the eve of the election, so much information disseminates about the candidates, and people find themselves squarely in somebody's camp. And it just seems like it's because their policies are so diametrically opposed. And when it came to taxes, you know, I really focus in on that because I would rather pay less than more. Imagine that. And, you know, you have the tax cuts that Trump installed in 2017. They're expiring in 2025. And the candidates are kind of, you know, it's a big deal. And a lot of people would say, well, Trump lowered taxes too much in 2017. But when Biden got into office, he was a little bit loath to raise those taxes, because imagine that. I'm imagining that a lot of them don't want to pay higher taxes either. And here we come on. So it's obviously a hot potato with respect to the politics of it and who's going to, well, what they're going to do with things. But the diametrically opposed part to taxes, I mean, it just goes right down the line as far as taxes. Trump's saying he wants to lower taxes even further and bring, let's say, corporate taxes from 21% down to 15%. It was already brought down significantly from the previous rates that were in the 30s. It brought down to 21. And that's such a big deal, because you imagine the zillions of dollars that corporations will earn, and they're taxed at, you know, significantly less. And if it gets to the 15%, that's probably about half of what they used to pay. So as a rate. So, I mean, these are big deals. They're going to cause stimulus in the economy. He wants to cut individual taxes as well. He wants to offer business incentives through the tax code. And all that's going to be stimulative to the economy. And it seems, you know, the GOP or that group likes that more flexibility for the individual. And the Harris camp is saying, no, we're going to cut taxes. We're going to make sure that people making under $400,000 are not going to pay what they currently pay. We'll offer right there. And some more tax incentives for the lower income people. So that's going to be economic incentives, money that's directly paid to them from the government. But we need to raise, we're going to pay for that in part by raising taxes on people that make over $400,000. And corporations, that, you know, the 21% can't last long. They want to bring that up. And any investment, which is a really killer for investment incentive and people that put their money into investing in companies so the companies can flourish. It's like we need to install a fairly, if Biden had his way, it'd be like 40% tax on capital gains. So what a difference in the tax policies, but both of them could be very stimulative to the economy. And that's the way a lot of times the policies are kind of structured, you know, for the talking points. And I guess the time within both of these, you got some sector specifics talking from a money standpoint. And, Harris's policies would tend to lean more towards favoring the Teslas and the SunPower companies using specific names, and then major pharmaceutical companies, because she wants to do a lot of push towards healthcare. I think they would prefer more government intervention in healthcare than less, and so that might help those companies. You're going to have people who benefit by that. And on Trump's side, the sectors who might benefit most might go to companies like Exxon and the major oil companies, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank America. I think he'd be friendly to finance. And Lockheed Martin, another company that, you know, is a large company within the economy that might benefit from Trump policies. But what worries me is all of them are stimulative. You can't run, I guess, for politics and say, you know, I'm really going to pull the growth rate of the economy down, and we really need to get this get things in order. And none of my policies are going to be stimulative. Anti-stimulative, and you can't win elections like that. So I worry about inflation naturally, because I think both of them could in their own way reignite the inflation that the Fed is working so hard to contain. And more for the Monday segment, but just this week, the Fed's preferred inflation gauge came out, and it was right as expected at 0.2%. Okay, that's okay. But on an annualized rate, it's at 2.4, and I think they would prefer it to come down a little bit less. And I think we as a group, as Americans, have, we've seen the inflation rate come up, hit a high a couple of years ago, but it's not come down. That's what you were just talking about, insurance rates. Are they ever going to come down? A lot of people are saying, well, the inflation is growing at this very anemic rate, but the focus is on the operative word growing. It keeps adding on. So, to solve that, I've always said, well, you probably need a recession to have this growth rate become negative and prices really start to pull back. But it's between the inflation, and nobody is talking about the deficit. Some estimates are Trump's tax policies, if he gets what he wants and he does what he wants, that's going to be about a $9 trillion increase in the deficit over 10 years. He's going to add tariffs. I was listening to my boss at UNO, Dr. Lane, talk about the tariffs. The tariffs are expected to bring in about $2.7 trillion over 10 years if installed at a rate that he wants to bring them in. Harris, the cost of the deficit is going to raise it about $6 trillion over 10 years. And both of them are adding to an already ballooned deficit that's growing at about $1 trillion. The interest is about $1 trillion a year. And that's what's worrisome. Somebody commented online, it's like the 24 election, nobody's talking about the deficit. The 28 election, everybody's going to have to be talking about the deficit because it's going to be, who knows, some estimates are as high as close to $50 trillion. And it's just unfathomable number. But it's as far as managing investments, we've seen economic downturns, we've seen recessions before, we've seen elections before. And if people are just minding their investments and understanding what they own, the S&P 500 or sufficiently diversified portfolios should keep you safe through anybody's administration. And it's just to understand, I think that's the biggest key. People, even in 401ks, Tommy, I see people at work that they would be really hard pressed to explain to anybody, including themselves, what exactly do you own in your 401k, and what is it supposed to do, and why did you choose a particular fund? And I think people would be hard pressed. So it's not a bad idea. It is your money, and it's your money when you're trying to retire, and you'd want more than less. So educate yourself on what is in your portfolio. And if you want a high-flying portfolio with a lot of volatility in it, well, elections tend to be accused of introducing a lot of volatility, and you might have more depending on which side of the fence that your investments are on. And if you have a conservative portfolio, you might not see a whole lot of change in what the investments that you've chosen previously, regardless of either candidate. But it's that's the focus of how do you take your investments through an election year where people are so polarized, the economy seems to be so divided, and it adds a lot of uncertainty for people that they're trying to make those choices.
Mark, very interesting information. I know we got a new jobs report. I will talk about that on Monday with you as we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Tommy.
You bet.
You too, sir.
7:54, 6 till 8. Traffic now, WWL.